We're drawing near to Easter now. It's almost upon us, the day of the resurrection. But before the resurrection, there was a crucifixion. Before the tomb, there was a cross. I want to read from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Death on the cross was not particular to Jesus and the two malefactors of Calvary. The cross was a common instrument of death for slaves and criminals of that day. Thousands have died upon crosses before Christ went to Calvary. History records that Darius, king of Persia, put 3,000 people to death on crosses. Alexander crucified 2,000 when he conquered Tyre. The Bible gives a record of the crucifixion of the baker of Pharaoh in the book of Genesis chapter 40. It tells us that he was fastened to a tree. There are different forms of crosses. Some were made in the shape of the letter X, some in the shape of the letter T, while others were merely a pose on which the victims were nailed. In either case, it was a shameful mode of death. The cross was indeed the cursed tree, for Moses said in Deuteronomy the 21st chapter, "Cursed is every one that hangs on a tree." To touch it was pollution. To carry it was a disgrace. Yet it was this emblem of shame that God chose for the royal standard of the church. There has possibly never existed a word more universally known than that of the cross. It is the center of history. Without it, history is incomplete. All of history since the death of Christ is dated from the cross, for time is reckoned from the cross. Death upon the cross was a horrifying deal, yet the shadow of the cross can be seen upon the pages of the Old Testament. The offerings and sacrifices in Exodus and Leviticus show forth the sacrifice and offering of the cross. In Numbers, Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole according to the command of God. And all those who had been bitten by the serpent lived when they looked upon the serpent of brass. It is to this incident that Christ refers to when he said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up." Therefore, the types and shadows of the law speak of the cross. The prophets foretell it. David, the sweet psalmist, plays the chord of the cross on his harp, while the evangelists of the New Testament state the facts of the cross and reveal its benefits. The Word of God is harmoniously woven around this theme. It is the center of Christianity. When Moses and Elijah met with Christ on the mountain of Transfiguration, the topic of conversation was the cross. The cross was the glory of God. And in order that God's purpose and redemption be accomplished, Jesus had to go to the cross. What does the cross mean? The cross stands as God's estimate of sin, something so dark and dreadful that it wrestled God from heaven and nailed him to a rugged cross. At the cross, sin in all of its hideousness is revealed. At the cross, sin becomes exceedingly sinful. It is here that man sees himself, hopeless, helpless, and depraved. It is here that he realizes that human goodness and human works can avail nothing. The hideousness of sin is given by our sinless Lord when he said, "If your hand or your foot offend you, cut it off and cast it away. For it is better to enter into life halt or maimed rather than with two hands or two feet and to be cast into everlasting fire. If your eye offend you, pluck it out, cast it away." Friend, this shows the destructiveness of sin. In the cross, we see the price of human redemption. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. For the Word of God says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead from sin, should live unto righteousness. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ." My friend, the cross is the remedy of sin. It is the medium by which sin can be put away. It does not only reveal and intensify sin, but it is the remedy for sin. Before the cross, the law revealed the sin and condemned men, but provided no remedy. The scripture tells us, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Therefore, we find the cross is our only grounds for salvation. It is the power of Christ that delivers us from the penalty of sin, who gave himself for our sin that he might deliver us. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The old man is crucified with him, and we are no longer servants of sin. The cross is also an exhibition of God's love. Love is a condition of perfect sacrifice. There can be sacrifice without love, for the scripture declares that one can give all of his goods to feed the poor and give his body to be burned and still not have love. The Bible tells us love is strong as death. Jesus says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The object of this love only magnifies it. Was this love of God for a king? Was it for the great righteous people? No, sir. No, siree, Bob. This love was for the unlovable. It was strength for the weak. It was godliness for the ungodly. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The cross is more than a monument for a church steeple or a crucifix to be idolized. It is the heartthrob of a loving God for a wicked creation that broke down the barriers between God and man and made Jesus Christ accessible to all men everywhere. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Even though our intellect cannot fully comprehend the mystery of the cross, yet our hearts and our conscience testify and confess its power. Troubled souls throughout the centuries have experienced the peace that comes through the blood of the cross. When the chains of their sins are broken, tormented consciences are relieved, and the heart is washed whiter than the driven snow. It is then that one can best know the value of the cross. I would say today, let this cross have the same effect upon you. What a transforming power. Won't you allow Christ, who died upon the cross, to reach across the centuries and bring hope and peace to you? There is room at the cross for you. This is more than a song. This is a fact. Though millions have bowed and left their sins, where multitudes have experienced the joys of sin forgiven, have felt the cleansing flow, there is still room for you. His grace is sufficient for you. His love is calling you home. Will you be cleansed by this blood? The blood speaks of redemption. The blood speaks of forgiveness. The blood speaks of mercy. The blood will set you free and deliver you from every habit and every binding chain of sin.